This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. You're afraid that if you do that, you're not going to close deals, then you really need to assess a couple of things. The first one is you need to assess if you're good enough to be in sales, right? If you are effective at sales. And if you're not sure, then talk to someone, have someone sit in on your meetings, listen to your calls, whatever that looks like, find a coach, find some resources. I have a private group coaching program that's literally designed for situations like this. I'll mention at the end, which you can find more information at jasoncutter.com, but get help, or maybe sales isn't for you, but it's not going to do any good if you're under disclosing and or you're afraid to say things because you think you'll lose those deals. That's not good either. It's not good for you or the buyers, right? Or the company you work for. So if that's the case, you want to see how you can improve. How can you get better? There's nothing wrong with that. We've all been there where it's like, I don't want to tell that person that because I think they're going to go away. It's usually just because you don't have the knowledge. You don't have the abilities. You don't have the skill to handle that conversation with the confidence needed to move somebody forward. So that's one of the big things is if you're not disclosing, look at that. If you're not disclosing because you know that it's a big trade-off and it's not worth it. And if somebody knows that, they're going to realize it's not a good product. That's a different thing that you have to address in your head, right? Are you selling a right product? Maybe you need to know more of the positives and you just don't realize it. Maybe you're selling on surface level. I see this all the time. People who are selling on surface level positives because their company gave them some probably half-assed training and some brochures and a deck of a slide deck or like a video to watch. And they think they know, but it's like surface level. And then they know about these trade-offs or there's these negatives and they don't know enough about the positive values to offset, like clearly offset any trade-offs or negatives. And so they're just afraid of them, right? It's like, oh yeah, this car is great because of this. It's like, no, it's great because of all these other things you just don't know about. And either your company failed you by letting you know, by not letting you know, or you just haven't done enough research or didn't pay enough attention in training. And you're just at the surface. Because if you're at the surface, you're going to lose in sales. You have to know more. Not that you have to use more all the time, but you definitely have to know more and know enough in those situations. So those are the big keys with preventing it.
I think it's also equally important that we talk about weaknesses, right? And I don't generally like to focus on weaknesses too much because I'm more in the camp of let's build up our strengths. How do we get our strengths to be stronger and more effective and just win from a place of our strengths instead of worrying about our weaknesses? But here's the big thing is, like I said, our biggest strengths can be our biggest weaknesses. I mentioned that with the spreadsheet example and being over analytical and just like killing deals, like shooting myself in the foot when it came to selling people on moving forward. But here's the deal with weaknesses. Here's how I feel about that is it's also really important to focus on weaknesses and not forget about them when they're things that can help you significantly with your selling effectiveness, whether it's mindset or it's the actual practical, tactical way that you sell, have conversations, whatever that looks like. I think it's important to be aware of those weaknesses and then improve the ones that are pivotal and important in your selling process. And I'll give you an example. Again, I didn't know I was in sales. Like the first 2 years, I didn't realize I was in sales. My title was in sales. It was loan officer. I didn't think I was in sales. That's not what I thought sales was. Then I started helping people who were in foreclosure, and I still didn't think that was sales. I still didn't think that's what I was doing, but I learned more about persuasion and that effectiveness at helping people move forward. Then I went to work for a company. And the side note with this, which is funny, is that when I went to work for that company, I was the director of operations. I didn't even want to be in sales. They already had a director or VP of sales. And so I just wanted to be on the operations side. I wanted to process the paperwork, deal with the transactions. That's where my brain goes. It didn't even think I was in sales. We're talking 2006. And again, I started in 2002 in the mortgage business. Then the person who was in charge of sales got fired. I instantly got promoted to VP of sales and operations. So I had to run both. And then I had to fix sales. I had to build a sales process and go through that. the part that applies to this is that once I started training people in my first group, I can remember their faces. I literally can remember the room I was in and who I was talking to and what we were covering. I realized in that first training class that sales and sales training was presenting and public speaking. Even sales, when you're selling somebody, then you are doing some form of public speaking where you have to know what you're talking about. You have to be able to deal with what might come up. Even this, right? This is public speaking. I'm recording this. It's going into the camera. It's not in front of an audience, which again, this is a replay. And the reason why is because I'm on my way to go speak at a conference, and which takes it to a completely different game on the public speaking side. But I realized in that moment that sales and sales training and leadership is like public speaking. There's so many elements. And at the time, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea how anything that worked. So I joined a thing called Toastmasters. And if you're not familiar with Toastmasters, and if you're in sales, sales leadership, training, management, I don't know, pretty much most things, check out Toastmasters International. You can Google it. I don't know what the website is specifically. Find Toastmasters. There is thousands and thousands of clubs. I promise wherever you live, there is a club nearby. Nice thing is you can go in for free. You can check out their meetings. You can do that for as long as you want. There's generally no pressure to become a member if you don't want to. It's definitely more fun when you do that if you decide. Toastmasters, and this is what freaks people out, is a place where you go voluntarily for fun or because you want to, weekly, monthly. I was at a club that was weekly, and you practice public speaking in front of other people for fun and without a court order. And most people think that's crazy. Most people, and there's been enough surveys and polls out there, most people put public speaking as their biggest fear ahead of death. I forget who it's attributed to. I heard this recently on a podcast. I feel like it was not a Zig Ziglar, but it's one of those people where the phrase is most people would rather be in the box than giving the eulogy, right? Most people are more afraid of public speaking, and I'm not going to get into reasons why, than they are death. And so if that's you, or if you realize like you want to get better at speaking, communicating, thinking on your feet, as well as having a prepared conversation, a prepared script, a thing that you cover and that you know how to nail it and you can deal with it, audio, visual, all these things that you can learn, then find Toastmasters or the equivalent, join that and put in those efforts. And that for me was one of those things where I realized I'm strong over here, I'm weak here, but this weakness, if I can get this to be better, it will significantly help my career down the road. Now, there's other weaknesses that I have. Graphic design, logos, branding, graphic arts, like I am not good at those. And that doesn't necessarily help me. There's other people with those talents where they're much better at it. But that's an example of a weakness that I realized where if I improve that, even if I improved it a little bit, that would significantly help my other strengths and facilitate me doing more and more and being more effective and being more successful. And that's what you want to focus on. Is when you think about the weakness side, again, the goal isn't necessarily to focus on all the weaknesses, but what do you have that's getting in your way of where you want to be at in sales, where you want to be successful, how you're going to achieve what's on your vision board? If there's anything that's in the weakness column, then what can you do to improve that?